Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Culp, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning. It is Thursday, February 11th, 2021.
Week 48.
48 it is.
Yes.
Is it really? It is, isn't it?
I mean,
calendar queen, help us. But I think she's right.
We have a live fact check.
Yes.
So.
Exactly. But
she'll correct us.
It's been many weeks. Low these many weeks.
Low
we
these
are.
Many weeks.
But we're glad to be back with you, everybody. Yeah. This is KSJE's COVID-19 Community Information Program. And so we're thrilled to be back with you to get an update from some of our great guests who are coming up in the next few moments and be able to share that with you on the program. So this is what we have. Oh, and I have a Windows update
good.
To install in a
Look
minute
at
here.
That.
So we have that, too.
I love it.
Well, oh, Windows. Uh-huh. You're so...
That AI.
Yeah.
Wants to get us.
It does.
It's tired, too.
It really
it's week
is.
Week 48. It's like revolting.
Really. literally revolting.
Yes.
But anyway, but we have our first guest on the phone. I don't want to keep him waiting any longer because we appreciate the time that he gives to us each and every week. Jeff Bourgeois, the president and CEO of San Juan Regional Medical Center, is on the phone. Mr. Bourgeois, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
I am good, thank you. Thank you for calling in. We always appreciate hearing from you to find out kind of how things are going at the hospital. We've seen the numbers coming down. We hope that has kind of translated into lower numbers for you and your staff as well.
It has. We are well off our peak. That was the end of January. We still do have COVID-positive patients in the hospital, and we still have a total of 20 ICU patients today, both that includes COVID and non-COVID ICU patients in our separate ICUs. But fewer than 10 intubated patients, six to be more specific. And, you know, that's the lowest number we've had in a long time. So I would say the message from that is very, very encouraging. But also we still need to acknowledge that there are some very sick patients still. And we not a time to let our guard down. Still practice all the COVID safe techniques that we've learned and let's try to continue to drive these numbers downward.
That's great. And well, good morning, Jeff. It's Megan. Let's talk about vaccination. Last time we spoke, you had vaccinated quite a bit of your staff. Are you guys at 100% vaccination yet, or how's that going?
No, we are not at 100%, but we continue to encourage those that haven't to continue to get the vaccine. I don't have the current numbers for our staff off the cuff here, Megan, but I was looking at the state's dashboard, and you know, there are over 607,000 New Mexicans have registered, and over half of those, 365,000, let's see, there's been, 264,000 primary doses, and then right at 101,000 individuals that have had both doses. So, you know, roughly 5% of the state's population. And so that's really encouraging. And we're just continuing to have great results from what I hear in the county and the community with the other vaccine efforts that are going on. A couple of neighbors and acquaintances I spoke to over the weekend, one who had participated in a clinic at San Juan College and another at McGee Park, and both were, you know, initially concerned when they drove to the parking lot and saw all the cars, but they were amazed at how quickly and efficiently the process went. So kudos to all those who are coordinating that, because that is no easy task to make that feel easy on the patient showing up.
Right, and that was going to be one of my next questions to you, Mr. Bourgeois, about kind of the community effort to get folks vaccinated and make the vaccines available to folks who want them, no matter where they may be. We saw some events in the Aztec and Bloomfield areas recently, other efforts to maybe target folks who maybe don't have internet access or aren't available to maybe register through the state's website online and just reaching out and doing other things. And I guess I would remember San Juan Regional's very early efforts to do COVID testing when you had your folks out in tents outside the hospital in drive-through areas. And again, kind of that kind of spirit, I guess, kind of continues with these vaccination efforts.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the only difference is we're not leading those community based COVID vaccine clinic efforts, the Department of Health and other stakeholders in the community based on the distribution of the vaccine itself to various pharmacies. So I think it's an effort that's proving worthwhile to distribute the vaccine to various pharmacies and other stakeholders, and of course the Department of Health to try to cover as many people possible. And the state has a wonderful COVID-19 vaccine dashboard. That's where I was pulling some of these numbers from. And just as a reminder, the order of priority still exists. So we encourage everyone to register. The state will contact you. And then there's phase 1A, which is essentially all frontline healthcare providers at hospitals and long-term care facilities, home care, hospice, et cetera. Those working in congregate settings such as homeless shelters and correctional facilities. And then phase 1B is persons 75 and over, and then persons 16 and over at risk of COVID complications due to underlying health conditions. And so once efforts are exhausted to get those first two groups, then there's some other subcategories within phase 1B that will also be targeted for eligibility. So I'm really encouraged. The epidemiology report I saw earlier this week suggested that the vaccine is now responsible for a 12% decrease in the daily incidence of new cases being diagnosed. So it is working. And that same report also continued to stress that COVID safe practices are extremely important also in continuing to help control the spread.
Yeah, that's very good. And we have one more question before we let you go, Jeff. How are the numbers in other state hospitals? Are we still sort of sharing space with Albuquerque, or how's all that going?
Great question, Megan. Suzanne Smith, our chief nursing officer, and I are on calls twice a week, Tuesday and Thursday morning. So we just had one today. And most every other facility of the seven regional hubs, so that includes Santa Fe, Las Cruces, Roswell, and then, of course, the three big hubs, Presbyterian, Loveless, and University Hospital in Albuquerque, all have seen declining numbers. But a couple of those hospitals specifically noted very heavy census in the non-COVID related areas. And so, again, what we're concerned about as a healthcare provider is that people are delaying care, and then that's turning into more severe episodes of care had they presented sooner for care. So again, want to stress to all your listeners that if you have routine screenings or any other symptoms that's new and need to be investigated, please seek the healthcare you need. Do not delay, because we fear that it'll end up in sicker patients than we might otherwise experience if they presented earlier once they first noticed symptoms or did not delay routine screenings and primary care.
That's true. And I had a very great conversation with two of your cardiologists yesterday, Jeff Bourgeois, about that very topic. They were talking about some of the concerns that, you know, folks experiencing chest pain or discomfort and maybe not recognizing that it could be a heart problem, heart attack, what have you, and to certainly stress that they'd get that checked out and certainly go to their primary medical provider or the hospital, emergency department, whatever the case may be, but even they were saying they were concerned about folks maybe delaying important care, and that's something we don't want to see. And you at the hospital have taken great pains to separate potential COVID patients from anybody else that goes to the hospital, and that's to be noted.
Thank you for mentioning that. That begins in the emergency department and flows all the way to the inpatient unit. So there's safe and appropriate separation of our patients with respiratory illness and those with non-respiratory illness. Really, I can't stress it enough. If you feel you need health care, please seek out the care you need. Do not delay.
Very good advice. Well, Jeff Bourgeois, as always, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate your time that you so generously give to us basically every week. So thank you.
Well, thank you guys for helping us get the word out and doing everything you can to keep our community informed. We really appreciate you as well.
Thank you very much, Jeff Bourgeois, President, CEO of Salmon Regional Medical Center. Again, giving us an update from the hospital. The numbers are down, which is good.
Yep.
Which is kind of what we see.
Yes.
And so we're glad that they are part of that trend.
Yeah.
Positive trend.
I heard a national report on that. You want me to share?
I always want you to share.
Aw.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're a sharing co-host.
Oh, why, thank you. Sharing is caring.
That's right.
So, it was basically positing the question, why have the numbers plummeted? I mean, we had this
everywhere.
Crazy. Yeah.
Not just here.
Nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of theories. Of course, we can never really pin down the exact causation of this, but one of the theories is that, you know, we had this like skyrocketing, oh my goodness, this is the wave they were talking about, danger, danger, danger. And so finally Americans kind of shaped up and did what they were supposed to do. So now the concern is, as these numbers are decreasing, are we going to go back to losing our vigilance? So I thought that was really interesting. You know?
Interesting. Well, and I guess the other thought was maybe the holidays are over. It's the wintertime. We don't really get together with people normally anyway. And so that maybe this is also helping to keep these numbers down.
Right? Yeah. So. Well, and they actually said that Americans behaved better than they predicted over the holidays.
Oh.
Yeah. Through the cell phone data that they have. That,
right.
You know,
we
the
were
GPS
traveling.
Thing,
sure.
And traveling. And that people, there was a lot less traveling than they imagined there would be. And then once people got to their destination, they stayed in that location. So
maybe
there's that.
That's good. Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
That's important.
You're welcome.
Week 48 has been confirmed, just to let everybody know. So thank you,
Excellent.
Calendar Queen, for our fact checker,
yeah.
Keeping us on the up and up and the right way. Here are the latest numbers from New Mexico. So again, we're seeing daily numbers definitely below 1,000, some days below 500, which is encouraging. So again, 512 new cases yesterday for a total of 178,790. San Juan County had 29 of those new cases. So again, our case numbers are way down as well. Although the bad news is the number of deaths reported yesterday up 31 for a total of 3,461. Three of those were from San Juan County. So we're now above 400 deaths in the county. And another 1,500 recoveries in New Mexico at 114,976. And so, it's notable. And we celebrate these numbers that are coming down. And again, the fatalities, and folks kind of warn us about that there's usually that maybe 2 weeks or what have you with those high case numbers, that some of these folks just aren't getting better, unfortunately. And so that's where these fatality numbers obviously are coming from,
mm-hmm.
from some of those higher numbers that we saw a few weeks ago, perhaps, mm-hmm. from hospitalizations. And so the news stories on KSJE.com, again, we always put on the daily New Mexico numbers. The Navajo Nation had 38 new cases yesterday. Again, low numbers for them. But again, their fatality numbers or deaths are up as well. 11 new deaths yesterday for a total of 1,086. There are now 29,041 cases of COVID on the reservation since we started tracking this in March. But again, they are continuing. They do have that stay-at-home order that is now through the 15th. I imagine they'll probably extend that, but we'll find out. We'll see. We'll let you know. We'll put it on our website. We haven't heard yet
Absolutely.
From the tribe what they're planning to do. And then the other story on the website, the so close, right? It's so close. There's no
Yes.
space between so and close because
Yes.
San Juan County missed yellow status by 0.01%.
That's tough. You
Ouch.
Know, I mean, I don't know. We're both educators And I think this is where you round up, personally, you know.
Round down.
Well.
Because we have to be below
5%. Right. There you go.
So we want to.
Round down.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that like five or higher, look next door? Isn't that like a rhyme that they teach in elementary schools? I don't know.
They didn't teach me, but
We're in different generations.
Well, I was in elementary school before music was invented, so that wouldn't have been taught to me. But thank you for thinking I would have been.
I don't know. It's a rounding thing. Anyway, yeah. You're right. We should have rounded down. Zero definitely means you round down.
Right.
Anyway, whatever. I respect the authority's decision.
Those are the rules.
Those are the rules.
I mean, I think maybe some county folks may ask them to reconsider. I don't know if that'll happen. Again, a map will be updated in the next 2 weeks. So I guess what that means is, you know, we're so close to yellow this time. In 2 weeks, if we all keep doing what we've been doing, we'll definitely be in the yellow. And maybe we could jump to green.
Yeah.
Would be awesome, right?
Would be amazing.
And so that would be my message to our audiences this morning, is just to keep doing what we're doing. We're with your restaurants, you know, keep ordering takeout, keep supporting those restaurants, those businesses that can't reopen until we get to yellow as much as they would like, even more so, obviously, to green. But that's where we were. And I can tell you 2 weeks ago, San Juan County's test positivity rate, which is what this 5.01% is from, 2 weeks ago, we were at 12.71.
Big plummet.
And now we're at 5.01.
Yeah.
So we've made great strides. And so that's why I think if we keep doing what we've been doing, we'll do even better. And the numbers will keep coming down. But this is what the map looks like. More yellow counties, more green counties. Again, those green counties are probably the lesser populated counties, for sure, but our county, San Juan, McKinley, Rio Riba, right to our east, they are all red, and then things turn to yellow as you get closer to Albuquerque, and then the southeast certainly is still red as well, with Chavez County, where Roswell is, and some of those other places, Hobbs, in the southeast part of the state, and the Boot Hill is red as well, so. We're watching, and we're keeping an eye on those numbers. But again, as we zoom in on San Juan County, we can see that our test positivity rate 5.01, and our cases per 100,000 was 23.4. And so to get to yellow, just FYI, everybody, we have to be one or the other. So we either have to have test positivity below 5% or the numbers of positive cases per 100,000 people of 8 or less. It's either or.
Okay.
So
that second one confused me a little bit.
To get to green, it has to be both.
Oh.
The 5% and the 8 per 100,000.
Okay.
So that's where we have to go to get to green.
Gotcha.
It's got to be both.
All right.
Yellow, either or. That's how I remember it.
Okay.
So if that helps,
deserves a song.
If that helps, there you are.
Come up with one.
There you go. Okay. We have another guest.
Excellent.
Who has called in on the phone line this morning. So let me go to our guest and introduce them. Good morning. You're on KSJE. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Good morning, Scott. It's Liesl Dees.
Liesl Dees, the one and only friend of the show. Haven't talked to you in months. Liesl Dees, welcome. Good to have you on this morning. Thank you for calling in. I'm getting to your photo right now so we can show people what you look like. Hustling kindness.
I'm still in my home office. I'm sitting in the same chair.
We can see it. Okay. I can see it.
We can visualize that.
But thank you for calling in, Liesl, because we wanted to get an update from you. You were, and still are, from your home office, from your favorite chair, very involved with the Want to Help line.
That's exactly right. And I'll give listeners kind of a thumbnail sense of what this is. Back when we thought that we were going to be doing this for, I don't know, some short time, the college, the county, the city of Farmington, and the United Way all came together to say, okay, there are needs in our community, and we know there are going to be specific COVID-related needs that we can't anticipate. Let's set up an entity for people who have some extra time, who want to do things to volunteer during this time. And so that is the Want to Help line. It is for people who want to do something and want to know what is out there to be done right now. So it is a phone number that you can call, and I'll give that in just a minute. And that is staffed by San Juan College staff. Our website presence is maintained by the city of Farmington. And Scott, if you're up to playing subscribe here, can I have you navigate, help people navigate to how to get to the Want to Help line?
Yes, we could do that.
Okay.
Sorry, I was typing. So, yes, I was getting ready to type the phone number.
Yeah.
But we're good.
You know, slim picking staff over here.
That's right. That's right. But I'm sure, yeah. So we're going to go to the website, and then we have also the spreadsheet to show people as well, Liesl Dees, when we're ready to do that.
Perfect. And that's kind of what I want to walk people through, how to find this information.
Oh, okay.
So if you go to the
okay, hold on.
Farmington's, so if you go to the City of Farmington's website, and
right.
I'll talk listeners through this, and if you catch up, great, and if not, hopefully I can describe it in a way to get people there. So the City of Farmington at fmtn.org, if you just Google City of Farmington and you come up with the city's official website, there is a whole coronavirus section. Got a lot of great resources there. And if you scroll down, one of those resources is helping the community during COVID-19. And there's a plug, Scott and Megan, for your show on this page. And then it also explains the Want to Help line. So that's one place that listeners will find our phone number, which is 566-4210. That's 566, area code 505, 566-4210. And then you can click on that spreadsheet that you mentioned, Scott. Are you there now?
We are there now. We are looking at
awesome.
We are looking at the website, and I will kind of click out for just a moment, Liesl, and I'll be able to go to the spreadsheet here in just a second.
While he clicks out,
Megan enjoyed the sound effects from the last computer
pretty,
typing
it was
here.
Pretty fun. While he's clicking out, I would like to know what kind of needs are you guys like? What's the most prominent need that's happening right now?
Great question, Megan. The answer to that is vaccine volunteers with the Department of Health. And I know that's something that you've been involved with. And we've had a handful of very reliable people who have been greeters, helping with traffic, and assisting the Department of Health support staff. And it started with people who were helping with the testing. Months ago that were helping the Department of Health. And the key that we're looking for on that is wanting people who are reliable. We don't want, people who just can show up for one day, one day once a month. These are regular things that are happening, and we're looking for people that can kind of do this consistently for that particular need. So that's at the top of our list right now.
And we're seeing it on the spreadsheet. And so, again, everybody can see the same information by going to, as you mentioned, Liesl Dees, the City of Farmington's website, and then kind of navigating through. Or they can just call that number as well to get directions, correct?
That's exactly right. If you don't have internet access and you want more information, or you have questions and you're not sure how to get them answered, we're happy to play middle people, and you can call the Want to Help line and get that. So to go back to the spreadsheet, we did a lot of editing on that kind of early on, had, reaching out to nonprofits in the community as best as we could think of. And everyone was trying to figure out what this looked like. If you had asked me back in March last year if we would have vaccine volunteers on this list, would have probably said, "Ha, really?" But that's where we are, months and months into this. So there are some things that have been on this list for months and months, and we've circled back around to make sure that those are still the same needs. That's what's listed on websites. See if there are other things, and we've updated a few things recently. And I will say, because both of you and Scott and Megan had conversations about this. Our last impetus to update this information was the Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service. And we really appreciate that Nate Duckett mentioned the Want to Help line in his little talk for the MLK Day of Service. So that proved a great opportunity to update information, make sure that what we've got up here is up to date. So we still got things with the Navajo Nation, with the Northern Dene COVID-19 relief, Navajo Family Voices, the Navajo Hopi COVID-19 relief, and all of those have pretty much stayed the same for a number of months. San Juan Regional has been on this list for many months, and they updated what they are looking for these days, just in the past couple of weeks. They are still asking for fabric face masks, for fabric surgical caps and head covers, and for some lap blankets, fabric or tightly woven yarn, and also cards for patients and for staff for encouragement. So we've got an email and a phone number available for Teresa Becker, who is the manager of volunteer services at San Juan Regional. And otherwise, the information is here as to what they are looking for.
Very good. And so this is for the Want to Help line. What about if I need help? Where do I go for that?
Absolutely. So if you are back on the City of Farmington's website, there's a section that says under Want to Help, Need Help, are you an individual who needs help? If you need help in any way, the United Way has a helpline at 211. That's all you need to dial, 211, or the full phone number is 505-326-HELP. Easy to remember, 505-326-HELP. And they also have a lot of resources on their website to explain, you know, where to look for rent assistance or food needs or things of that nature. So we end up getting phone calls at the Want to Help line for the help line, and that's where we send people and try to help them get in the right place as best as they can.
Good to know. But it's good to know, too, that all these resources are still available to folks in our community and for folks who maybe want to help. Maybe they've kind of gotten settled into this, I know you hate this slogan, Megan, new normal.
I do hate the slogan.
I know you do.
So,
but we'll
take that off air.
Getting settled in. Uh-oh. I may be back next week, maybe not. But for folks who are settled into whatever their new routines are.
Temporarily and, new routines. Go
and
on.
Maybe they find they have some extra time and want to help. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity to reach out and find out what is available, what the needs are in the community, and how they can help.
And I think it should also be stated that you might sort of catch the help bug, and once we're back to the actual normal,
yes,
you will have a relationship with an organization in town, and maybe, you know, hopefully you lit the fire under you and you keep going.
Sure.
Yep. And let me do a couple of shout-outs on that if I can, because there are a couple of things listed on the spreadsheet that I anticipate always being there. So Echo Food Bank is a great place to volunteer. They are in need of volunteers to organize and pack food. Like organizations functioning these days, they have a COVID protocol, and you will be asked to complete a health questionnaire, and they have the forms and the information that you need on their website, and you can find that at echoinc.org, and they have a whole section that's COVID-19 volunteers.
Excellent.
And another couple of other things that are on the list that are, you know, always likely to be there. Basin Home Health has specifically asked for COVID-19 related volunteers helping with needs of patients and clinicians. And PATH is on there as people assisting the homeless, asking for donations in particular there. And then when we started this, kind of figuring out, okay, what can we do during this time? Because, you know, when we're all navigating what is essential and figuring out COVID-safe practices, two things that have kind of persisted here. The regional animal shelter always needs foster families, and blood donations have always been needed. So those are another two perennial things of things that you can do to help our community.
Great. I was a little confused there for like half a hair a second, which was the animal shelter needs my blood. but
no, separate. These are separate
things. This is a divided by a colon, and we can't see that on air.
Right.
Got it. Well, Liesl Dees, friend of the show, we thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Liesl.
My pleasure. You guys take care.
Thank you for the work that you're doing, too, to connect all of us with the folks in the community that need assistance. So we appreciate it very much.
Well, and Scott, let me do one quick tiny little shout out. And that is, if you are an organization who you say, oh, we'd like you all to know about us, call that same number. Call our main Want to Help line at 505-566-4210. And we are happy to add you to our database.
Excellent. Very good. Well, thank you, Liesl. Do stay well, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. Bye now. Bye-bye. The one and only, Liesl Dees.
Truly.
Right?
Truly one and only.
And, I don't know how long, when the last time she was on the show, but
it's like back in April or May or something, yeah.
Maybe summer, you don't think?
Summer.
Anyways.
I don't know. A while ago.
But, you know, the needs are still there. So I'm glad that we were able to reconnect and remind everybody that these opportunities are available.
That's right.
And the help is still available, too.
That's right.
If folks need help.
Yes.
Because this just keeps going forward, and families have different needs at different times.
That's right.
So we get that. All right. Very good. Hey, we have another guest on the phone. How about that?
Yeah. We do have her on the phone.
Look at me like, did they come in the studio? There's no one else here. So what are you talking about?
All right.
Sheila Mobley is on the phone with us this morning. Good morning.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. And we wanted to reconnect with you as well. But you're another guest that we haven't spoken to in several months because of your efforts for high school seniors in the area. And that is coming back around. Here we are, 2021, class of 2021. And so remind us again of what you're able to do for seniors.
Okay, so we started a page last year, and I'm a little hoarse, so I apologize. Started a page last year. It's Adopt a Four Corner Senior. And I think the effort is more to encourage the kids because they're not in school or, you know, because of every life that's happening right now. And just to connect with some kids that you may or may not have ever been heard of or know their stories or they just need some encouragement right now. So you can go in and adopt a senior and, you know, just help them out through the year with, like, encouragement, you know, maybe a gift card, maybe a candy basket, something like that, just to show support for some of you probably don't know. There's some crazy stories, too, on there, too.
Right. And so that is a Facebook page that you've created, right? That's where folks can find this information?
It is. It is a Facebook page. It is called Adopt a Four Corner Senior. It is a closed page. So I do go in. I'm the only one that can, quote, let people in, but anybody can invite or just request to be in it. We have about 4,500 people on the page right now. But I have to let you in. So I do go in and check to see if, you know, it's somebody from that shouldn't probably be in there or, you know, it's a local person because we're trying to keep it just to the four corners or a relative or a friend that, you know, is trying to get into an adopt a senior. So I do take a bit of cautious effort to go in and check to, you know, who's getting in the page. But yeah, you just can request it. And again, it's Adopt a Four Corner Senior. And we are trying to keep it just the four corners, not like, you know, somebody in Arizona or something like that, just so it stays local.
Sure. Gotcha. And I'm always interested in what the motivation is for people behind these good deeds. I mean, 4,500 people is huge, and I'm sure this just started as sort of like a seed of thought. So you did this last year. What was your motivation?
You know what? I actually got on. There was a national page. This wasn't my idea. There was a national page that someone invited me to, and I got on that one last year. And I did adopt a young lady out of Chicago, and a couple more, you know, out of the area. And then I just got to thinking, it's like, you know, why am I doing that? Why am I spending time and effort? Which was awesome. But there's, I mean, we have our own seniors here, so let's just pull it in local and just do it. I don't have any kids in high school. I don't even have any grandkids in high school, but. I know a lot of people, so it's like, you know, y'all come help me do this. But there's some stories on there. If you go down and really read the stories instead of just, you know, the parents are usually the ones that are putting their kids on there. And there's some amazing stories on there, you know, and it's not just the football players and the cheerleaders, which are great kids, don't get me wrong. But there's some behind-the-scenes stories of kids either struggling or, you know, things they've done in life that are pretty amazing, actually.
Right. And Sheila, for parents, I mean, can they register or get their kids on this page so then other folks can help and connect with them, I guess? Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, and that's how it's mostly working. So let's just say I have a senior, so I can go on. I mean, anybody can put a kid out there, you know, obviously with their permission and the whole bit. And don't put any personal information like phone numbers, addresses, or anything like that, because it is still Facebook, still is the internet. But so what the process is you go in, let's just say I'm a parent of a senior, go in and you say, you know, hey, this is my kid. This is what they've accomplished. This is where they're going to school currently. This is their goals in life. And then you, as just, you know, a community person, would go in and just pick a kid. And we ask that each student only be adopted once, but you as an adoptee parent can adopt as many as you want. So you just go in there. It's really easy. It's a great community, but you just go in and then you just say, I want to adopt them. Then we do have a questionnaire that you can or can't send to them. You know, what's your favorite color? You know, what sports, what's your likes? And then you just really just get to know them. You know, that's when you exchange maybe the personal information off Facebook. You know, here's my phone number, or my email, or, you know, however you choose to participate. And you just connect with them. I mean, my kids last year that I had five of them local last year. I adopted five. And I knew one of them. I didn't know the other ones. And it was just cool, like dropping stuff off at their house or meeting them in the park for lunch or, you know, it's just getting to hear their stories other than their parents, you know, and maybe they need a person to vent to, or, you know, they've got some stuff going on in their life. They need someone to talk to, almost like big brother, big sister ish, kind of like that.
Yeah. I love it. Love it so much. So are we going to keep doing this once, I mean, there's light at the end of the tunnel for this pandemic, or let's think positively and assume that at some point it's going to go away and we're going to sort of get back to normal.
2022, class of 2022.
Yeah, and I honestly, I was asked to do it again because of the situation we're in. Because I kind of thought, you know, okay, we did this once, we're good. And, you know, the parents or upcoming seniors or whatever, like, you know, can we do it again? Can you help us out again? So it's like, you know, absolutely. And it's also a place where you as a merchant can go in and post things that, you know, maybe you sell graduation invitations or posters or balloons or, you know, whatever it is for a senior. It's a really good place to good resource for needing to buy gifts for seniors. So you can do that. And then last year we had some photographers that actually did free senior pictures for them. So there's a lot of reasons to get involved in it.
Very good.
It's free, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. And, and as you mentioned, Sheila, too, you know, we know that there are a lot of students and who may be struggling, mm-hmm. you know, seniors who can't maybe do the traditional senior thing, at least at the moment. We hope that maybe they will be able to between now and graduation. But this is a way to kind of make up for some of those things that they weren't able to experience during their senior year, as we did last year, which, again, to your credit. So thank you. And the other folks involved with this page.
Yeah, it turned out really cool. We did so, and it's not me. I'm just behind the scenes. It's the community that's doing this. But we even did a drive-through graduation, so to speak, at the mall last year, where all the kids were in cars and they just drove through the parking lot. You know, cars were parked around and they were honking for them, and so it was kind of a virtual graduation parade. You know, last year, which was pretty cool. Craig and I flew over in our plane. We flew over the mall and kind of videotaped it. It was kind of cool. It was fun to watch.
But
it's the community. You know, it's the community, and it's not a financial thing. So it's not like who can spend the most money on a student. It's just who's there for the student. So, you know, I really encourage people, you know, whether, and I don't want to say afford, but I really encourage people just to get on it. Even if it's just a note, a card, you know, it doesn't have to be a new car. You know, it's just an encouragement thing. So
there you go.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Sheila Mobley, thank you so much for coming on and just, you know, like planting the seed out there, and it's taken off. And I do hope it continues post-pandemic world, because I think our kids always need adults that care that are not their parents. So thank you.
Yeah, they do. You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks to the community for doing it.
You bet. Well, Sheila, thank you so much. We'll maybe check in with you as we get closer to graduation, but do take care.
All right. Thanks so much.
You bet. Sheila Mobley from the Adopt a Four Corner Senior Facebook page, our guest here on KSJE. So great. Just terrific, right? I mean,
so heartwarming.
Yeah.
I love it.
Right? It's terrific. So we want to wrap up the show, but we have a couple more things to share.
Okay. Yep.
As we were talking a little bit about
some of the vaccine things. And let me get back to kind of where we are. I don't think we talked about the Johns Hopkins numbers, which is your favorite highlight of the show.
Here we go. It's becoming routine.
Where are we?
So, U.S. confirmed cases are now at 27,288,483. Big number. Big number. And United States confirmed deaths are now at 471,765.
True.
So,
all right. But as we've been saying, if you look at that graph in the lower right of the screen, that shows you kind of where things, the trend of numbers are coming down nationwide, as you mentioned earlier. So,
that's right.
So we're excited to see that.
Yes.
And again, with more vaccines rolling out and the other things that we're noticing, that maybe hopefully we can get this over with.
Yeah.
Or at least move on to what's next.
Yes.
We shall see. Yeah. So again, the COVID testing is still happening. And so again, at McGee Park, curative.com. You can go out there and get tested again Monday through Friday from 8 to 3, Saturdays 8 to 2. You register at curative.com and you enter from US 64 and you go down to the fairgrounds, and the testing site is there at McGee Park. And again, this is part of that that testing positivity rate, right? So, you know, if more folks get tested that are negative, that will drive that positivity rate down. I'm not a math guy, but even I understand that, how that works.
That sounds correct to me.
Right.
Have you been tested yet? We've gone back and forth on this.
I have not been tested yet. I have not felt ill, and so I've not been tested. But I can tell you what I did after yesterday when I found out about this 5.01% crazy number. I ordered an online test.
Okay.
So it is coming to my home.
Very good. Because I was going to say that it's not just about feeling ill. If you've come into contact with somebody who
because you could be asymptomatic.
That's the clutch thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But from listening to the governor yesterday, she mentioned that these testing at home tests are free to New Mexicans. Huh. So I went online and she was right. Go figure.
How?
And it was a pretty easy process.
Yeah. Did you get it from Amazon or?
No, it is the company that's doing it. I forget the name of it, but it's
derision over
an
there.
Actual company.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's coming and I'll do that. And hopefully my negative will help drive that.
You should
that
do it on
down.
Air like Cuomo.
Okay, thanks. Uh-huh. Maybe. But I have to do it, you know, you have to do it in front on a Zoom call with an actual medical person.
Really?
Who supervises you spitting into the tube.
You just spit and they supervise you?
Yeah.
I just feel like that's a waste of our resources.
That's how they do it.
All right.
I'm happy to report back as I go through the process here. So we'll see.
Are you going to say that you're not a cat on that Zoom call?
I will use my cat filter. How's that? When I'm spitting into the tube. That would be something.
I just couldn't resist.
Anywho, all right. Okay. Here we are. As Jeff Bourgeois mentioned, we're still in phase 1B of the vaccine rollout. So again, we were continuing to share information about that on our Facebook page. There are other vaccine clinics popping up. Again, we've heard that Care Drug in both Aztec and Bloomfield are reaching out to their customers in case they're not on the internet or not able to register, doing some more of these vaccines. I think Presbyterian Medical Services is rolling out some vaccines at their clinic, again, in Farmington. So kudos to all of them and to get the vaccine out to some of these other more rural parts of our population who have, you know, folks 75 and plus. So that's important as well. Again, if you have difficulties, you can register it online, vaccinenm.org. That's where the state is going from and pulling from when they have vaccines available. They are contacting all these folks who have registered. But if you have difficulties or can't register online or don't have internet access, 855-600-3453 is the hotline number to call to actually get registered offline. But we're hearing that maybe, you know, the Bloomfield Cultural Center, I believe, the Bloomfield Library, other libraries are opening their computers for folks to come in and be able to get online and be able to register.
Yep.
So I think that's a great thing. So there you go. So I think that's where we are this week.
Go libraries.
Right? Is there anything else? Oh, we have the watch list.
Sure.
We need to talk about that briefly. But these are the watch lists that we talk about every time. And again, I'm not sure that was updated, so I'm actually not going to talk about that because I think that's from last week.
Okay.
Sorry.
Fair enough.
Everyone. But it's
very good.
It's online. And nothing has been shut down. We can certainly confirm that from the watch list. But my apologies, that was not updated. So
it's all good.
Not what we
can
want
I say?
Share if we want to share important local information. So Let's wrap up the show.
Very good.
All right. Turn on your cat filters.
Turn on your cat filters. And we'll see. And we will see you next week.
We'll see you next week, everyone. Stay well. And thanks for watching and joining us and sharing our COVID-19 community information program from KSJE.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.